Welcome to the Real Official Podcast. I'm Joseph and I'll be your host. If you're looking for fishing focused content that is mediocre yet mildly entertaining, you've come to the right place. We're going to discuss equipment, tips, tricks, tactics, news, and everything in between as it pertains to fishing. This is episode number one, and we're going to cover fishing in the springtime. A little bit about myself before we get into it and we get rolling. Again, my name is Joseph. I have roughly 25 years of fishing experience. I'd say at least 80% of that, I've been a variety fisherman, where initially, the first few years I was fishing, I did a lot of catfishing. That was the main fish of focus for my father when he took me out. So that was what we really went after. That's what we really focused on. And then slowly but surely, I started to research other fish, other species, get more experience fishing for them, get the right equipment, you know, things of that nature. So for most of my fishing career or tenure, I've been a variety fisherman. I fished in multiple states, not a whole lot, but I have traveled a good bit, and I've fished a wide variety of places, mostly Kansas, but I've also fished in Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, here in Texas for the last decade or so, Louisiana. I've also fished a little bit in Florida and a few of those states in between, you know, on road trips, things of that nature. So that's pretty much the areas that I fish. I don't have a lot of experience with, you know, like West Coast, you know, more of a trout, salmon fisheries, you know, things of that nature. I don't have a lot of experience, but I've done a good bit of research on it, so I do know a thing or two about it. Probably won't touch on it too much because I'd rather give tangible and, you know, personal experience along with what we talk about, just to make sure that I'm giving good information and I'm actually intelligent about what I'm speaking on. Some of my personal bests that I have had the privilege of catching are a 40-pound flathead. That's probably my best personal best, honestly. And the funny thing about that is I was not prepared to catch that fish when I caught it. back home, we have this place. It's called Lincoln Street Bridge. And before they renovated it, we would sit on that bridge and we would just fish down on the river below in like little slack water areas, you know, things like that. And that particular day, I just remember sitting there. I was really just out there to relax. I really didn't think I was going to catch much just because, the fishing was tough. Yeah, you know, midsummer, you know, not a whole lot biting, even though the water level was up. And as I'm sitting there, I'm playing on my phone, and all of a sudden, I see my rod, like, twitch once. I'm like, eh, whatever. And then it almost flies off the bridge into the river. And I wasn't prepared for it, but long story short, I got that fish landed. And unfortunately, he didn't make it, so I did end up taking that home, which I usually don't keep catfish that large, but he wasn't going to make it, and I did not feel comfortable just turning it back into the river for it to, you know, eventually die and decompose. Some of the other personal bests that I've caught, a 6.5-pound bass, which I've caught that one fairly recently here in Texas. Me and a gentleman that I met through one of my elders at my church, we went 2.5 hours east, out in East Texas, and we fished a little lake out there that's only really accessible by kayak. There's not a lot of bank access, and there's no real, like, fishing amenities there. So unless you're fishing it from a kayak, there's really not a lot of fishing pressure there. And we caught, I think it was during the spawn. It was like early May or so in there. It was a very good bass. I was very proud of that. I've never caught a bass over 4 pounds up to that point. A couple others, maybe crappie. I think the biggest one I've ever caught, ever crappie that I've caught, is probably 1.5 pounds. Walleye. I think the largest walleye I've ever caught back home was 22 inches. And for those that don't know, you know, 22-inch walleye is a good size walleye. That's, you know, that's a pretty big fish. That's well over legal length limit in Kansas. And walleye generally only get up to, you know, 28, 29 inches. Once you get past 29 inches, you know, that's a world-class fish. You know, I believe the largest one, I don't want to misspeak, but I know the largest walleye is over 31 inches. And like I said, that's a world-class size fish there. And unfortunately, I don't think we had many of those back home, so I wasn't really expecting or ever attempting to catch anything that big. But, you know, at some point I would love to actually go to a more walleye predominant state and actually, you know, try to catch a walleye of that size. Fun fish to catch, and oh, they're my favorite fish to eat. Walleye, there's just something about it. I haven't eaten a fish yet that really compares. And that's, I mean, even crappie, a lot of people say, oh well, man, crappie's great. It's great, but if you've never had walleye, trust me, walleye is it. If you can get your hands on it and give it a try, it's delicious. And just some of the goals that I've really set for the podcast, well, not really goals, but it's really just to project, well, not project, it's really to help and educate other fishermen, whether they are new to the sport or they've been in the sport, give it another perspective, because that's the one good thing about fishing, and a very important part of fishing, in my opinion, is to get multiple opinions and tactics and ways of looking at fishing, because no one way is the best way in fishing. Everybody's going to have the way they do things. Everybody's going to have their specific baits they use. They're going to have their specific opinions. So it's a very good idea to get as much knowledge as you can. And I'm not saying go out, find 30 or 40, 50 different information avenues. I'm saying don't just stick to one particular tactic or technique or one particular, you know, way of thinking, because that can severely limit you when you're fishing. You know, one guy over here might have 3 or 4 or 5 techniques that he's going to use today, and he's going to catch more fish than this guy over here that's only got one technique in his bag that he's going to use that no matter what. And yeah, he's probably going to catch some fish with it, or he's probably going to, you know, he's going to do okay, but he's generally not going to do better than the guy that can switch it up and find what the fish actually like in that moment. So that's really what this podcast is going to center around, is giving different opinion, give different ideas, different tactics, techniques, maybe something you never thought of, and just to share my love of and passion of fishing with everyone that I possibly can. So that's really it. Let's get right into this. As I stated before at the beginning, we're going to really cover springtime fishing just because that's the season we're in right now. And depending on where you're at in the United States, you're probably in early to mid to late spring. Here in Texas, I think we're probably closing in into the later spring than we are, you know, full swing spring season, or spring pattern, you should say. So it might be different for you. If you're in the Midwest, you're probably right in the middle of the spring, you know, the spring pattern. For people up north, you might be closer to the beginning of the spring, early spring pattern. It really just depends on the lakes that you fish, the water temperature, and everything. Because the fish they don't go off calendar or anything, of course. We know this. They go off of water temp. So depending on the water temp for these lakes, that will dictate what part of that spring pattern you're going to be in. So if you have a shallow, warm lake that's already climbing into the 70s, you know, mid 70s or low 70s, that might be at the post spring. And then you might have a lake 3 hours down the road. It could be spring fed and it's going to be colder, and it could be mid 60s and climbing. That could be an early spring or mid spring pattern. So it really depends on water temp, So really pay attention to that as you're listening to some of these fish and tips and tricks and techniques that we're going to talk about. Just kind of think of what time of spring that you are right now, where you're at. And that will kind of determine how you want to chase these fish and how you want to target them. So what fish are biting in the spring? You know, most fish are going to bite in the spring. Let's just be clear. Let's get that out the way. A lot of fish, they're coming off, you know, with the winter time, the winter patterns, or, you know, where they've staged and things like that. So they're going to be hungry. You know, fish, they do eat throughout the winter, but for the most part, they are very lethargic, slow. They don't eat a lot during the winter time. I know you're going to see people catching trophy catfish and stuff like that during the winter. So fish do eat, but they're not going to eat as they do in the springtime or fall, because those are the two main times a year that fish are really going to feed heavily, either to pack on weight and food after the winter or before. So those fish, they're going to be ready to eat. They're going to be ready to move up to where, you know, those that are spawning, and those that might not be spawning just yet, they're still going to be eating. And there's going to be a few fish I'm going to touch on specifically because this time of year is their spawn, and there may be other fish this time of year that are spawning, but I'm going to touch on these four specifically because I fish for these fish multiple years. I have a good idea of how they act and what they do in the wintertime, or not the wintertime, the springtime, excuse me. And we're just going to touch on them just because I feel very confident that I can give good information and I can actually speak intelligently on these particular species. The first species that we're going to look at is the white bass. And generally, this is one of my favorite fish to fish for during the spring because they can be easily targeted at certain points of the spring. Now, during that time, you may only have a 2 to 3 week window once they start the spawning process. And their spawning process is, again, it's really predicated on water temp, first off, and second off, because of where they spawn, water flow. White bass, they tend to spawn in rivers and streams mostly. Now, that doesn't say that they might not spawn other places, but generally, those white bass, sand bass, whatever you call them in your neck of the woods, they're going to go upstream. They're going to go up creeks and rivers. And if the water temp is there, but the water flow is not, that might put it back a week or two. But if you get that first good spring rain and the water temp is up, that's when you're going to see that them start to move up those creeks and rivers. And they're going to start looking for places to spawn. Now, where do we look for these fish when they've finally gone up river? Well, there's a few places that you can look. And depending on where you're at, it might change. But most of the time, creeks and rivers have the same areas that are going to congregate these fish. So the first place that I would say is look for low head dams. And for those that don't know, low head dams are those smaller dams you see in a river that are not really, the water flow is not really regulated other than by water level itself. So if the water's high, there's water coming over the dam. If it's low, a little bit less is coming over. And if it's real low, there's no water coming over it at all. Now, just kind of give an idea of what those low head dams look like. You know, those are going to be natural barriers. So fishing below those during the springtime and during the spawn is going to be a very, very good place to look, because it does impede their movement upriver. Now, it doesn't completely stop it, but it will impede it. So fish below that. Another good place to look for is what we call a riffle. A riffle, for those that don't know, it's where the river comes up to a shallow spot, and it's usually the riffle is kind of rocky, but basically the water is low enough to where the river is probably a few inches deep, you know, 6-7 inches deep, and you can see the water's kind of riffling, going over little rocks and stuff that are on the river bottom there, and then it'll dump back off into a deeper section of the river or a hole, and those fish will congregate in that hole, if they cannot go over that riffle. That's a good place to look. Also find like log jams. Those will impede the fish's progress and sometimes and they'll hold fish below them because that's going to be a good place to stop. Now, I'm not saying these things are not going to stop it completely. So if you're above these areas on a creek or river, you do have the possibility of catching fish. Of course, I'm just saying these places will impede fish's progress, and sometimes that will cause larger amounts of that fish to congregate there. So some of the techniques that we're going to, and some of the techniques we'll use to catch white bass, sand bass, whatever you call them, it's very simple. Because you're going to do a lot of walking, looking for white and sand bass during the spring, you're going to be walking up and down these creeks and rivers. What we want to do is we want to pack light. So you want to have a few baits that you feel are going to be good to fish with, and that you're going to have not just one or two, but I'd say if you can, pack a small backpack, have like, you know, four or five, maybe six different like soft plastics, have some little spoons or little inline spinners, you know, things like that. They're going to be light, but they're going to give you the best opportunity to catch fish. And my personal favorite is a rooster tail. And that's because that rooster tail in the water looks like a little bait fish, because that flash on the spinner gives it that look of a little bait fish in the water, and that those feathers on the hook kind of give that tail look in the water as well. So it looks like a little bait fish swimming away. That's my favorite this time of year for sand bass and white bass. It never really fails me. I mean, there are some days where people, they'll catch more on, you know, soft plastics and stuff. But for me, whenever I'm just going out to do some walking and do some fishing and I'm packing real light, I'll probably bring one little plastic box. It'll have three or four inline spinners. It'll have some jig heads and it'll have some curly tails. Curly tails is the other bait that I really like this time of year, and you want to have those in a white color, silver color, or a chartreuse color. Those are my picks for color this time of year, because they're that silver and that white and clear. There is clear. They're like clear with a black and white flake in them. Those are my three go-to colors. And chartreuse, I never leave home without a chartreuse bait. I mean, it sounds weird, it sounds crazy, but that chartreuse color works for me when everything else won't. Like, I've had fish not touch anything until I put on a chartreuse curly tail, or even a paddle tail, you know, things like that, and I'll get bit where nothing else will work. And my jig heads, usually I don't have a color on my jig heads. I usually just go with the plain lead jig heads. A, because they're cheaper, and B, whenever you use a jig head enough, it's going to knock that paint stuff off anyways, so eventually you're going to be left with a lead jig either way. And three, it also gives me the ability to paint them if I want to paint them a certain color, or if I'm like, okay, somebody I know has gone fishing in the last few days, and they're telling me that this is working better. Okay, awesome. Well, let me just go ahead and let me dip that head into a color and get a curly tail body that's going to go with that color. It makes it a lot more versatile for you, and it allows you to be more customizable with just those regular lead jig heads. But we're going to move on. We're not going to stick too much on it. We're not going to have a master class on sand bass. The next fish that I like to fish for this time of year is crappie. This is the crappie spawn, and crappie, they're fairly easy to locate as well during the spawn. Where you're going to find crappie, especially this time of year, you're going to find them kind of where you'll find the white bass. You'll find them up creeks and rivers and stuff. They'll be moving up there to spawn. But you'll also find them on shallow, like grass flats. So a grass flat, for those that might not know, it is a flat on a lake that, you know, there's really no features to it. It's just like a flat. It would be like a field underwater, really. And on that underwater field, you have like cattails, you have vegetation that has grown up, and it's kind of laying down on the surface of the water. It's kind of making like a field. It's like a field, like I said, field underwater is really what it is. And they'll move up into those areas, and they'll spawn in the cattails and the vegetation and stuff like that. You can also find them underneath boat docks. You can find them along rocky shorelines, rocky banks. And right this time of year is a very good time to target them, especially for, you know, shorebound anglers, because they're going to be up shallow, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet of water. You'll even see them up in, you know, a foot of water. It really just depends, because this time of year is their spawn. And a technique that I really like to use this time of year is what we call the jig and float. And what it consists of is having your bobber or your float, whatever you might call it. You know, you'll put that 24 inches up your line or 2 feet, and you'll adjust that depending on the depth of water you're fishing. But I say 24 inches because that's a good middle ground. And you're going to come down, you're going to tie your jig head onto that, onto the tag end or the end of your line. And you want that weight. You don't want it to be too heavy. So I'd say, you know, 1/32 ounce jig head up to 1/16, depending on how deep you're fishing. And depending on the kind of float you're using, the smaller, more sensitive float, the lighter you want to go, all the way up to 1/64 ounce. But you'll tie that on with like a palomar knot or a clinch knot. And what you want that bait to do, you want that jig head to sit horizontal. Because if it's not sitting horizontal and like it's like leaning down or it's like straight up and down, that doesn't look natural in the water. Whereas if it's sitting horizontal, that looks like a little minnow or something in the water. And so you'll cast that jig and float out to wherever you're going to cast to. And instead of reeling it back, you're going to reel up the slack in that line. You're going to twitch it a couple times. And what that does, when you have that jig tied on correctly and it's sitting horizontal, when you twitch that float, that jig is going to pop. It's going to pop up, and it's going to look like a little fish swimming as you're moving that bobber towards you. And that's what's going to get your strike. That's what's going to get that fish to inhale it. And sometimes they might not even be hungry. That fish might bite it just because what we call a reaction strike. He sees that little minnow popping in front of his face swimming away. He's going to eat it, you know, just an instinctual reaction. So that's why it's important to make sure that you tie that jig on properly and it's sitting horizontal in the water. And you can check that just by dunking your jig in the water and holding it there for a second. And you'll see it'll sit horizontal, it'll sit up and down, or it'll sit at an angle. You'll see if it's sitting horizontal or not. Then you want to adjust that knot to somewhere on the eye of that jig to where it sits horizontal. And you want to do that after every fish you catch, because when you catch a fish, that's going to move that knot. And that's, you want to make sure that you're giving it the best possible presentation for that fish. And that horizontal presentation, that gets them every time. And you will catch other fish besides crappie with that. I've caught largemouth with that. I've caught carp doing that. I've hooked gar doing that, catfish. But it is mainly for crappie. And like I was saying before, the curly tail is, it's used for a number of species of fish. So just because you're fishing for crappie, you might catch something else. But that's part of the fun of fishing. You never quite know what you're going to get. But that's my favorite technique this time of year. Some people, they like just to go do vertical jigging, you know, things like that. But my favorite is the jig and float, doing kind of like what I do with the white bass and, you know, walking creeks and rivers and stuff. For me, that's fun. You get an exercise and you're, you know, you might get a couple fish out of the deal, right? Now, moving right along, the next fish that we're going to talk about is largemouth. This time of year, they're going to be spawning as well. And honestly, this is a very fun time to catch largemouth because it's a lot of sight fishing. So what happens with the largemouth, once that temperature hits a certain I can't really think of the temperature off the top of my head. I do apologize. But how the largemouth react this time of year is they move up into shallow water, and they're going to move up into shallow water all throughout the lake. So this isn't really predicated on specific areas. I mean, they do find areas that suit them, and those areas are going to be in 1 foot to 6 feet of water. And you're going to see, first off, you're going to see the males come into those areas because they're going to clear out little patches in the sediment on the lake floor for spawning beds. And that's kind of why I mentioned earlier that you're going to be doing a lot of sight fishing, because if you're walking along the bank or if you're on a boat, you're going to look for those white spots on the bank, on the floor of the lake, and those are going to be usually bass beds. And how we're going to target those, for me, what I do is I use one of two things this time of year, and that's either a Texas rig or I use a jig, a football jig or sometimes a swim jig. But what I really like to do is put that lure on the bed and make the bass angry to where they're not even eating my lure because they're hungry. They're eating it because they're protecting that bed. Now, I know some people might think, you know, that's kind of a, you know, terrible way to fish for them. But, you know, it doesn't really bother the nest or anything like that. It really doesn't. But what I want to do is I want to really pitch that jig past the bed. And I want to kind of skip it along the water. And I want to get it right to the edge of that bed. That's going to get the bass's attention. And sometimes they'll hit it before it even gets in the bed. And you kind of want to walk it into the bed and let it sit. And there's a gentleman I saw on YouTube before. What he'll do is he'll jig it into the bed. And he won't move the rod, but he'll tap the rod with his hand. And that'll make that jig like flutter. And they'll eat it. So that's my favorite technique this time of year when they're spawning. And you're going to get a lot of big bass this time of year because you'll get a lot of big females. You know, this time of year is when a lot of guys catch those double digit, which I would love to catch a double digit at some point. But this time of year is when you'll see it because they're going to be big. They're going to be full of eggs. And just remember, if you're going to be bed fishing and stuff, try to get those fish back as fast as possible because, you know, get your photos, whatever you're going to do. That's fine. And I mean, if you decide to keep fish, as long as you're legal, cool. This is just my opinion when it comes to, you know, spawning season, especially for largemouth, considering the spawning rates of largemouth and, you know, a couple other things, but just personal opinion. Because what happens is once you take that bass away from their bed, you know, little bluegill and sunfish show up to eat the eggs and small fry that are still on the bed. And unlike white bass and crappie, which I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain white bass and crappie do not stick around their young after they've laid their eggs. I think it's just they lay them and they get fertilized and then they go on about their way. Bass will actually sit on their beds, even after the males at least. They'll sit on those beds for a little while after the eggs have been laid and hatched to protect those fries from predators, which bluegill love baby bass, so do sunfish, you know, little things like that. They like to eat those bass. So, you know, just as a little tidbit, a little tip, if you will, try to get those largemouth bass back as fast as possible if you're fishing for them during the spring spawn, because that'll help them protect those smaller bass, and that'll provide better fishing for you moving down the line. The last fish I'm going to touch on is walleye. We don't really have much of those here in Texas. I think there are two lakes. One's in North Texas, like way up by Amarillo in that area. I cannot think of the name of that lake to save my life. And there's another one a little bit south of where we are in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I believe it's like Wheeler Lake or something. It's something like that. It's a small little kayak or small boat only lake. They don't allow big boats out there. And I've heard there are walleye there. I have not heard of anybody catching them myself. I haven't seen it in the forums or anything like that. But to my, from my understanding, that there are some walleye in that lake. But anyways, walleye, they're a little bit like the crappie when it comes to spawning. They don't generally move up rivers. I mean, you will find them in river systems sometimes. It really just depends. Like, there are certain sections of the Mississippi River that are chock full of walleye. So it's not that they don't inhabit rivers or anything like that. They just don't move up rivers to spawn usually. I could be wrong, but from what I've read and I've researched, they generally don't move up rivers to spawn, but they look for more rocky areas. So they're looking for banks that are lined with rocks, or riprap banks is the terminology fishing for them. Or they'll find like the face of dams and stuff like that that are very rocky, have a lot of area for them to for them to spawn in those rocks. Like back home, we used to fish a lake during the walleye spawn called Cheney Reservoir, and every year, because that lake was, it was more of an impoundment for water, to provide water to Sedgwick County and a couple of other counties around, and it's really just a flat featureless lake, really. I mean, you have a river channel that goes through the middle, you do have a few things here and there that are, you know, structure, but for the most part, it's really featureless. So the walleye would really congregate on those rocky banks that there was quite a few of them around the lake. They congregate there, or the main place they congregate is the face of the dam. And during spawn, we'd go to the face of the dam and we'd catch walleye there all the time. And that was another 2 to 3 week period that you'd really get on them and get some good fish out of there. Mm-hmm. And techniques that I really use for for walleye is fairly straightforward. I use either a jerkbait, you know, small jerkbait that mimics minnows or, you know, baby shad. Soft plastics, again, you know, in those silver, clear, white, chartreuse, those colors. And they're mimicking shad. And there's a gentleman that I knew, what he would use, these little crankbaits that you get at Walmart. They're about the size of your thumb, and I mean, they're really tiny, like in a blue and a gold pattern. And he would cast those, and he would reel those really slow along the bottom, and he would catch walleye after walleye like that. I didn't personally use that technique because, I mean, my jerkbaits and my soft plastics worked just fine. There was really no reason to. I mean, I probably should have, just so I can get an idea of the technique myself, but I digress. So my favorite thing to use this time of year, again, for walleye is those soft plastic paddle tails or curly tails in white and white, silver, or clear, or chartreuse. You know, those are the colors that I usually go with. And you're going to catch quite a few walleye like that. And getting a limit of walleye, that's a great dinner. Believe me, like I said before, if you want a good fish, get you some walleye. If you have any way to get some, just get some and try it. If you don't like it, I'll pray for you. But trust me, you're gonna like it. It's really good. Let's think about it. What else is biting this time of year? And I kind of mentioned it earlier on in the podcast, but this time of year, everything is biting. I mean, I'm not going to say cliche, but it kind of sounds like a duh moment, but a lot of people don't realize, yes, you have these specific fish that are spawning. Great, yeah. And they're going to be a little bit easier to pinpoint because they are spawning, you know, because you'll know where they're spawning, when they're spawning, so it'll be easier for you to pinpoint them. But most fish are going to be biting this time of year because they're coming off those winter patterns. You know, they're going to be hungry. And like catfish right now, that's a really good fish right now that's biting. You're going to find those in 3 to 6 feet of water. windswept banks, which is a bank, if you don't know, that the wind is blowing into your face. And what that's doing is that's pushing a lot of those shad and baits. It's pushing those baits into that shoreline, and those fish are going to be along that shoreline eating those shad and stuff, or shad and crayfish and stuff that's turned up by the water, or, you know, that are stunned by getting rolled into a wave. That's pretty much a buffet for them. So you find a bank like that, you know, get you some stink bait or some small shads, throw it 25, 30 yards away from the shoreline, and you'll probably catch you a limit of catfish, depending on where in the United States you're at, if you have catfish. Because there, believe it or not, there are some areas in the United States they don't have catfish. So this might not pertain to them, but that's a good way to catch them. Stripers. Actually, I think stripers spawn this time of year. I could be wrong. But if you're in an area that has a striper population, that's a good fish to fish for this time of year. They can be very aggressive. They'll also go into river systems. Hybrids, which is a white sand bass hybrid with a striper. Those are very good fish this time of year. Flatheads are still a little slow this time of year, honestly. They really don't get going till closer to the summer months. And that's the same with bluegill and some of the other catfish. Like, that's their spawning season. So that's kind of when they really get going. Not to say you can't catch them now, but right now, I've never really had a lot of luck targeting flatheads early spring. Now, like I said, that's just my experience. There's probably people out there that they have great luck on flatheads this time of year. But for me, most of my luck for catfishing, really, is either channel cats or blue cats this time of year. And so wherever you're at, whatever section of the United States you're in, you know, just kind of figure out what fish you have in your area. Figure out what they're biting on. I've given you a few, which some of these fish, they might not be in your neck of the woods. They might not be in your neck of the woods, but, you know, it's kind of the same kind of research and preparation is the same. You just figure out what fish is in your area. Figure out, okay, if they're spawning, what water temperature do they spawn at? Where do they generally congregate during spawn? You know, it's really easy once you pinpoint what fish you're going after to kind of figure it out. But we're not going to get too far into a lot of that. I mean, I will touch on multiple different fish species, techniques, times of year, you know, things like that. But right now, we're just going to focus on what we talked about. We touched base on white bass, crappie, largemouth, walleye. You know, we touched on a couple of other little fish. I really didn't give any tips or techniques on them, just the fact that they are readily available this time of year. You know, like I said, that's most fish just during the spring. Spring is a very good time to go fishing. It's a good time to get out there. And that's really it for this episode. We've touched on a little bit when it pertains to spring fishing. We'll probably touch on some other topics in regards to spring fishing, you know, in the following episodes. But, you know, that's really it. This has been the Real Official Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, follow it wherever you listen to your podcast to get notified of new episodes. Leave a comment or review, share it with your friends, and give it a crispy 5-star review. Join us again next time for more fishing content. We're out.